Let's go to Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. We've been using two texts of Scripture, Ephesians 6, 18 and John chapter 15, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, praying always with all kinds of prayer. There's different kinds of prayer. If there's different kinds of prayers, then there's different ways to pray them. And also, if you're going to make them work, you have to know the spiritual laws that govern them so that we stay within the framework and believe together correctly. And so, you know, in the 11th chapter of Luke, the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And then he gave us what we call the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, for many years we recited that before every class. When I went to school, we used to pray the Lord's Prayer. In fact, they actually do that today in different circles. I don't know if you noticed that some places. Like I went to a meeting somewhere and they said, we're going to pray. So they prayed the Lord's Prayer. And then we carried that tradition on for everything. So you prayed the Lord's Prayer for everything. If you needed shoes, you prayed the Lord's Prayer. You needed money, you prayed the Lord's Prayer. You're praying if somebody died, you pray for them, you say the Lord's Prayer hundreds of times. And a different thing. So we didn't know what we're doing when it came to prayer. We didn't know how to pray. We just knew that we had to petition God, ask God for something. But prayer is more than asking God something, right? There's more to prayer. So generally speaking, prayer is communicating with God, talking with God. You talk to God, he talks to you. You ask God something, you wait for an answer, or you pray according to the word and you receive your answer by that and you pray alongside. So there's a right way, a wrong way to pray. The Bible tells us how to pray the right way. And so we were covering, last time we were together, the prayer of agreement. And we didn't really go over the actual, you know, the steps of it. We'll do that. But we kind of wanted to, we talked about the general idea of praying together with someone. And you can't make someone have something if they didn't want it. So that's why you have a prayer of agreement. You can't get someone filled with the Holy Spirit if they didn't want the Holy Spirit. You can't pray salvation for someone unless they want to get saved. You can't pray the prayer of forgiveness for someone unless there's times you can. The Bible does say we can actually pray for someone and God will forgive them. So there's that kind as well. So, but we have to know when those rules apply. Say, for instance, if someone was sick in the hospital, if they're not even a Christian yet, and they went under unconscious or something, and they're in the ICU, and how would you pray for that? What would you do? And lots of times people don't know what to do, so they scramble around, and they get as many people as they can. If they thought, I can get many, many people to pray, then we can change something. Something might happen if we get enough people pray. We don't know how many people. But if we get so many people, keep asking people to pray, then something might happen. Well, you know, we were told that's praying in the dark. Or you're praying, hoping that something might work, and nothing actually works because you're not going along the way God says to. You know, prayer should be something that you have confidence in, that when you pray, you believe that something's going on, something's happening, God's... You're making a difference when you pray. You're not just mouthing off some hot air, some words that don't really mean anything. So really, when we think about prayer in the general sense that we're talking to God, we're going to God. And there's, like I said, there's many things. When we think about prayer, we think about petitioning or asking God something. And so there's many kinds of asking for something for God, to God, about. You know, if someone's sick, you know, say for instance, there's one scripture there. I think it's James 5, The Bible says if someone's sick, if there's anybody sick, you call the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he had committed sins, the Lord will forgive him. And so that's in the Bible. It's amazing that God can actually forgive someone when you pray for them. And you see that time and time again. It's, in fact, the last chapter of 1 John talks about in there, if you see a brother sin unto sin, which is a sin not unto death, and if you pray for him, God will, if you ask God to forgive him, God will forgive him, unless he prayed the sin unto death, which is rejecting Jesus. And Christians can go there and reject Jesus at some point, and that would not be a good place, according to Hebrews chapter 12. You can't reject Jesus after salvation. There's no more salvation after Jesus if you reject him, and there's no more salvation after that. Except, you know, you'd be looking for a really bad future. So just, you know, when we think about praising God, like we just finished, had praise and worship, that's prayer. You know, that's a kind of prayer. And, you know, there's a chapter over in Acts 16 where the Bible says the disciples got together and they ministered unto the Lord. They just begin to tell God how good he is, how kind he is, how wonderful, and how much they love him. And they were ministering to God, thanking God. And so that's the prayer, just ministering to God. You're not asking him anything. You just want to show your appreciation and love him. You know, you ever went to your parents' home and hugged your mom and dad and told them how much you loved them, how much you appreciated them, what they did for you all their lives? You ever done that? And then they look at you and say, so what do you want? Well, so that can happen too. Sometimes people do that, but you're not doing it because you're asking. You just want to show them your appreciation. So when we do that to our Father, we're praying. We're talking to God, and that's a wonderful place to be. It's a tremendous place to be and to be grateful and talk to God. And some of my prayer times in the morning, I go to my prayer time, and I do have a game, you know, that I'm going to do, like I play what I'm going to do, like some kind of plan. So I go in there with a game plan. So I want to give you a game plan again, just to remind you what to do. But you don't have to use that as a, you know, just I always have to do this. But there's some things you need to do all the time. Say, for instance, worship and praise. You should always start with worship and praise. Right? You should start every session with thanksgiving, praise, and worship God. Well, thanksgiving, you know, praising and worshiping God, it just flows together, doesn't it? You know, you just say, okay, right now we're just going to thank God. Don't you start praising now. We're going to, you know, well, it all flows together. Notice prayers all kind of, they kind of touch each other and they kind of, you know, they go together, right? And so someone asked one time, Brother Hagin, what's the most important prayer? You ever ask yourself that? What's the most important prayer? Anybody ever, you ever ask yourself that? What's the most important prayer? Well, he said the most important prayer is the one you need for right now. What do you need right now? That's what's important. And you need to know where your parameters are in prayer. How much you can pray for people. Where do you stop? When do you stop praying for somebody? Is there a place you stop to pray for someone? Or, you know, some people pray for someone and they keep praying and asking God for the same thing over and over every time they go to prayer. Well, you prayed that once before. You asked God that. And sometimes you'll go to your prayer time and you know you have that same desire. You still have that need about praying about a certain situation or a certain person. And you go to your prayer time. God will just tell you sometimes, hey, just go ahead and praise me and thank me about it. And so that's where the prayer of praise and worship comes in. You can start thanking God by faith that what you prayed about last week or last year or 2 years ago, it's still going. And God's answered that prayer. And something, it's coming in somewhere along the line. And so there are so many things when we think about prayer, there's so many aspects of prayer that we sometimes get lost ourselves in it. So let me just talk about united prayer, and that is learning how to pray with other people. So you have to learn how to pray with someone, another person, and they ask you to pray for them. And, you know, I neglect to tell my wife what I wanted to do when I called her up here. She was a little confused because I wasn't giving good instructions. Because I automatically thought, since she's my wife, she ought to read my mind. But at that time, it didn't work. So, you know, sometimes you want them to read your mind. Other times, you don't want them to read your mind. So at that time, she came up here, and I might have embarrassed her, but I'm sorry. If I embarrass anybody at any time, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. So I asked her, come up here and ask for prayer. I was trying to demonstrate the prayer of agreement. And so we messed it up pretty bad. But we'll do it again. We're coming back. And we'll do it again another time. And so we'll get ready for that. So did you go to a scripture verse, Ephesians 6:18? Let's go read Ephesians 6:18 and verse 19. Let's go have it up on the board and let's all look at it right here, everybody. This is the King James Version. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Well, that's a lot in that verse of Scripture when you study it. But what we want to pull out of it for our discussion tonight is that phrase, and that is all prayer. If you flipped it over and go to Ephesians 6:18 in the Amplified, I think either Amplified or the other version, it says all kinds of prayer, I think it is. If we'll see it here, Ephesians 6:18 in the Amplified. Pray at all times, on every occasion, and in every season in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer. So this one says all manner of prayer. So some versions say all kinds of prayer. I think maybe the NIV or NLT says. So we want to differentiate for our effectiveness, you know, what are the different kinds of prayers. And so there is a score of a list which I want to give you. So first of all, let me just give you this one. It's called the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith, and it's Jesus taught this to his disciples. And we have a teaching on, you know, what did Jesus tell his disciples? What did Jesus say about prayer? You go through the four Gospels and you find out what Jesus said about prayer. Then you go to the New Testament epistles and find out what Paul said about prayer. It's very interesting. So I know you don't have that time to do it tonight, and all that research, but we've done it for you, some of them at least. So Jesus taught this prayer, the prayer in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. It is called the prayer of petition. That means, you know, asking God something. This prayer is always based on the revealed will of God. In other words, if you're going to pray the prayer of petition, you're going to have to know what the will is first before you ask him. That's why you could stand, when you stand praying, receive, believe that you receive. Well, how could you do that? Because you already have the revealed will. You know what the word says, so you're going to ask based on the scripture. And so this prayer always is based on the revealed will of God. It is used when an individual is requesting something from God for themselves, usually, unless you have the prayer of agreement with someone. Matthew 21:22, you can use these scriptures as well. Matthew 21:22, and 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This would coincide with that, and in fact, other verses of scripture tell you almost the same thing. There's another prayer called the prayer of consecration. And there's two other words that go along with it, the prayer of consecration, dedication, and commitment. You could add those two words as well. Well, this prayer is also referred to as the prayer of dedication and submission. This prayer is offered when an individual is dedicating himself totally to the plans and purposes and will of God. This prayer that Jesus offered for himself when he unreservedly gave himself to God's plan in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "Thy will be done." This is, you know, he prayed that prayer, the prayer of, just giving God, you know, this is your plan. What is your plan? You know, sometimes you don't know the plan of God. Say, if you don't know the plan of God, you need to pray this prayer as well. He said, "Lord, I don't know what you want to do here, but I'm going to dedicate myself. You want me to go to Russia? You want me to go into the ministry? Do you want me to go to make a business? What do you want me to do?" So, of course, you wouldn't say that if you knew, had an inkling. But so this is offered to you when you reserve yourself to God. This is the only prayer you would ever ask if it be thy will. Because you don't always know God's will in certain things. Sometimes you don't know what God's will is in certain cases. You see, you know, say for instance, you sense a call to the ministry, but you don't really know what it is, where it's going to end up, and how long it's going to take. So you say, "Lord, I'm just going to give my life to you. Whatever you want me to do." And they say it's the most dangerous prayer to pray, some people say. But anyway, it's a good prayer. It's not dangerous. So there's a prayer called the prayer of commitment. Okay, should I give you a scripture for this prayer of consecration? Did I? Okay, so Luke 22:42. Matthew 26:39 and Mark 14:32. So Luke 22:42, Matthew 26:39, and Mark 14:32. So this is when you dedicate your life to God for his plan and his purpose, his will. You're submitting to God's plan. So this is actually a prayer that you should do every day. Because you don't really know what's going to. As far as God's plan for that day, you don't always know everything. You might think you'd be going to work that day. Or you're going to work, but you don't know who you're going to meet. So you'd say, "Lord, after you've done all the, you know, I gave you the formula, so to speak, the you know, the structure of prayer, and, you know, you've done all your..." By the way, when we go to a prayer, we always start with praise and worship, right? Psalm 100 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise." That's what it says, Psalm 100. Then it says, "Know that the Lord, that he is God." So when you go to prayer, know that you're coming to God. He is God Almighty. He's the everlasting God. So you're coming to him, know that the Lord is God. He's God, you know. And it is he that made us. And we not ourselves. So we're giving him praise and thanksgiving and worship. Could we get that scripture down there? Psalm 100. Any version is good. King James is good. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." You know how to do that? How does a joyful noise sound like? Let me see. Pretty sad, man. So if you're really, really happy and you know God's going to show up right now, what would you do? So make a joyful noise. You don't have to, you know, when I say, you say, "Wow, what if I don't do it right?" No, you're going to do it right. You know how to make noise. You don't have to sing. Isn't that good? If it said, you know, sing a wonderful song to the Lord in the greatest tune possible. Some of you couldn't do it. But thank God this includes all of us. We can make a joyful noise at least, right? So, all you lands, verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before him with in his presence with singing." That's wonderful, isn't it? That's a good command. "Know ye that the Lord, he is God, that is he that made us, and we not are ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him." So all this stuff is talking about coming into God's presence with, with, with expectation, with joy, and with thanksgiving, we come to him knowing God. Now, I want you to go to Acts chapter 4, and we're going to be talking about the prayer of united prayer, or learning how to pray with more than two people. So this is united prayer. And in Acts chapter 4, let's start from verse 23, 20 to 29, somewhere around there, and 30. And so in there we find a strategy, a formula, a format of how those people went into the presence of God. And they knew, these guys who were praying this prayer in the book of Acts, really, the disciples, they were Old Testament believers who came to Jesus. They had the Old Testament history. They understood about the Old Testament, and they understood about coming to God's presence. They heard the old stories of the wars and how they came into the presence of God. And so, you know, this was after a crisis situation. And so, starting from verse 23, and being let go, so they were thrown in jail because they did something wonderful for the Lord, but they were thrown in jail. So they went to their own company. That's the people that you love and the people that it's your church, your kind of people. You want to have your own company. You can't just have any company. You know, when you get up Sunday morning, you have to go to your own company, right? Not just any company. There's lots of companies in the city. But you come here, this is your company. And you have certain expectations, right? If you get up, if you start praising, if Miss Joanne started dancing in the spirit, we wouldn't think nothing of it. Just let her dance, right? We said, what's she doing? Maybe somebody will come and say, what's she doing? Oh, just leave her alone. She's dancing. You know, and then she falls out on the spirit, and Dave starts dancing. And different ones start screaming. And they said, my Lord, what kind of church is this? I thought this was a church. These guys seem like they're demon-possessed. Did I tell you a story one time about my brother? He came to my prayer meeting, and he was praying, and all of a sudden he started groaning. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I had my eyes closed, but I looked around, and I knew where the noise was coming from. Oh, it's my brother. I know he was the most carnal Christian I ever met. He smokes and goes to bingo. Sometimes he even drinks wine. I thought, man, he's getting delivered. I know he's getting delivered. He started to groan in the spirit. But, you know, surprisingly, God was using him more than he was using me. He fell out on the spirit. He started groaning in the spirit. And I saw different ones that did that first. The Lord said to me, teach people how to pray. And I didn't know how to pray myself. And so the anointing to pray came, the spirit of intercession came and fell upon people, and I saw people fall under the power of God, and they started groaning in the spirit, and I thought, these are real charismatics. They're going way out of this, you know, they're crazy. One time, my sister, she was involved in our prayer group, and she'd been praying really strong, something like Miss Grace here. So one night at midnight, my brother-in-law calls me up. He says, there's something wrong with your sister. I said, so what's wrong with her? She said, I was in bed. And he goes to bed at 6 o'clock at night. And then he said, I heard your sister downstairs, and she's moaning and groaning and grunting and everything else. There's something wrong with her. I said, oh, don't worry about it. She's praying. He said, that's not praying, he says. So she was praying. She was interceding in the spirit, and I don't know. Yeah, she got that way. She's all alone. Nobody knows. In fact, you were one time praying like this. 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning before work, and she gets out in the spirit, and she went into this groaning. You know, Romans 8:26 talks about groaning in the spirit. So she's groaning in the spirit, and people in that same building believe that there's somebody who was being injured. So they call the police, and they found her praying. True story. So anyway, we'll go back to here. So, you know, you think you know everything about prayer, right? You go, oh, I know everything about prayer. Yeah, but when the Holy Spirit falls on people, the spirit of prayer comes on people, intercession, then all of a sudden you don't know anything about prayer. Right? What about those people who prayed, the Spirit of God falls on them, and they prayed all night long? And they're farmers, and the cows have to be, milked. They're moaning. Chickens are clucking. Pigs are yanking and running all over the place. And the farmers are still in the Spirit. Huh? So it happens. Yeah. There's one time, there's a story about, I think, Finney. He had these guys who prayed ahead of him, and they sent him out there. And they went in and they said, well, where's your friends? Well, they're in a hotel. And they asked the people there, well, where's our friends? Oh, they're upstairs. They've been in there and moaning and groaning for 3 days now. They never came out once. So they're praying in the Spirit. So things can happen that way. You might be saying, I have to go home pretty soon. One night I was telling those guys, this is a story, the anointing of God fell one night. And this guy, him and his wife, they're from Dryden, they joined a church. And so one of those services, and this guy, he has to go to work at 11 o'clock at night. He's on a shift where he come to church. It was an evening service, and he came. And so he fell out under the power. And he got up praying in tongues. And he tried to talk to his wife. He could not talk to his wife, only in tongues. So his wife was alarmed. And so she brought him to me and said, what did you do to my husband? I said, I didn't do anything to him. He said, you have to undo that. I said, I can't do anything about it. He said, but he has to go to work at 11. I said, I don't know what to do. I didn't do it. So she phones me up later on. She said, he came out of it. I remember Brother Hagin talking the story that he said he got so far in the Spirit, he thought he'd never speak English again. He said he was getting scared even. Can't order your food, can't talk to your wife, you're speaking in tongues all the time. It's amazing. Right? But time goes by fast when you're in that Spirit. So, and being let go, they went to their own company. We talked about our company. So when you have this kind of prayer, and you have these experiences, you know what's going on. You don't have to explain everything. And that's why in Acts, is it Acts 2, where he said, and these people say, what is this? People are filled with the Holy Spirit. They're acting drunk, right? Laughing, some crying, probably shaking, dancing. Acts chapter 2. And they said, what is this? And he said, this is that, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all men. I remember Charlotte's dad came to my house over in Red River Road one evening, and he opened a book, Joel, and he began to quote that scripture, and the fire of God fell upon our family that night, and everybody in my family got touched with the Spirit of God. I fell over under the power. I spoke in tongues. It was like the Holy Spirit forced me. I couldn't but stop praying in tongues. Anybody ever got that way? Where you cannot stop but pray in tongues. Like you grab hold of me, but it's because it's open. If you're tight, he's not going to force you. But I was so open to God. And it was like, wow. And so I went, I cried and laughed, and my dad was never born again, got born again right then, and filled with the Spirit. I have a nice little picture of my dad's video. My dad lived all his life, he never went to church until I became pastor, and he got filled with the Spirit, and he's there worshiping God. His last days was better than his first. Amen? Company, if we can get past this. And reported that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them, in other words, they're telling them about the threats they had. Verse 24 says, and they, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice. They, lifted up their voice. What did they do? With one accord, and they said, Lord, thou art God, Psalm 100. They began to praise and worship God. That's the first thing they did. So when you go to your prayer time, that's the first thing you do is learn to praise God, learn to worship God. And you need to learn who God is. Who is he to you? Well, for me, he's my healer. He's Jehovah Rapha, my healer. So, Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord. You said in your word that, 1 Peter 2:24 says, I'm healed. And any scriptures that come up, I want to thank you that healing in my body, flowing in my body right now. I'm not trying to get healed. I'll never try to get healed. I'm already healed according to the word of God. You laid my sickness upon Jesus on the cross. Jesus took my pain and my sicknesses. And I worship him for a while when I started my prayer. Right? Then I say, thank you, Lord. I have peace in my heart today. I got peace. I got unshakable peace. You're Jehovah Shalom, my peace. God, you are my peace. You've given me peace. And I have peace in my heart and mind. Nothing in this world can happen that I'd be so shaken. I'm unshakable. Because the Holy Ghost, Jesus lives inside of me. He is the Prince of Peace living inside of me. I'll never be shaken. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. No one can give this. No one can take it away. I have it in me right now. And I might be scared too, but I'd say it anyway. Because I got trouble, right? So I would praise God and say that. God, you are heaven. You are God. What kind of God is he? He's my healer. He's my peace. He's Jehovah Shammah. He's my ever-present God. Lord, you're everywhere. Thank you, Lord God. I'm praying for the prime minister today and praying for the federal government. And you're there, right now. And I'm praying for them, and your angels are there. Thank you, Lord. I praise you. You're Jehovah Shammah, my ever-present God. And anything that happens, you know it's going to happen even before I know it. And you made provision. You provided all things for me. You're my healer. You're my righteousness. Right? You're Jehovah Sidkenu. You're my righteousness. And I have no guilt. I have no condemnation. I'm not afraid of God. You're my very own father. I'm your very own child. I'm your child, Lord God. I'm your very own child. And you've met every need. And I'm worshiping, thanking God. This is still all in the beginning, right? We haven't started even asking God anything. Thank God. You're Jehovah Rapha, my healer, my provider. You're Jehovah Jireh, you provided all my needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, you're my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord, you're Jehovah Rohi, also my shepherd. You're leading me and guiding me by your spirit right now. You're prepared this day. And sometimes here I would make my petitions. I would begin to, declare what kind of day it's going to be. It's going to be an awesome day today, Lord. I'm excited. Who am I going to meet today? Thank you. You're leading people in my path. And I'm being led in their path. And you got divine connections happening for my life today, right now. People are going to call me. People are going to phone me. I'm going to see some people online. And we're going to connect together online. We're going to pray together. And thank you, Jesus. I welcome everybody on my Facebook. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Even the devil can come on there. I'll teach him something. Well, he's everywhere too sometime, right? He's there, he's over here. I mean, he's not omnipresent, but he's there. So anyway, you got to know who God is. And you have made heaven and earth and the sea. Okay? You're doing all that. You're praying together. So when you start your prayer in the unity prayer, you're doing this together. You're not cutting your nails while your leader is. In fact, you shouldn't cut your nails in here anyway. We've been finding nails in here. They're like dinosaur nails. Somebody's got huge. And so verse 25, And he begins to quote scripture, just like I would quote scripture, like you would quote scripture in your Bible time, in your prayer time. Lord, you said by the servant David, he's quoting scripture, just like you would. The Holy Ghost is going to allow you to quote scripture to Father. You said in your word. And verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up and rulers and so on and so forth. Verse 26, he's just still quoting the scripture. Again, he's quoting again the history there, what happened to Jesus. And verse 28 is still on the same path, formula there. Verse 29, now they're getting to business. He said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to thy servant all boldness, we may speak your word. By stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. I prayed this prayer this morning. I asked God, Father, this evening, I pray in the name of Jesus, just stretch forth your hand as we, on all the singers and all the musicians and all the workers, and I pray a mighty electric presence of God, that people have a tangible presence with you. You said to have every service an encounter with you, and I believe that, Father. I'm praying that and believing for that. I pray for every one of those people. So you would start this way. And one of the things you would do also during this time somewhere would be casting your cares upon God. And so we find the scripture here, the casting your care upon God is called the prayer of commitment. The prayer of commitment is called the prayer of casting your cares on the Lord, can be considered the stress-relieving prayer. The Apostle Peter mentioned this prayer in his first epistle when he exhorted the people to cast their cares upon him, 1 Peter 5:7. Sometimes this prayer can be difficult because many people like to hold on to control their own life situations instead of allowing God to work on their behalf. In this prayer, we are to cast all our cares upon God. And this is the time when you're praying and say, Lord, I just got this concern about so-and-so. I got this concern about my children. And I know I've cast it on you once before. I'm just going to remind you again, Lord, I'm still standing. I'm still believing. And I want to thank you that you answered my prayer. And I'm going to be strong here. And I'm going to continue to praise you because you answered me. I want to offer the prayer of thanksgiving in that area again. So the Amplified Version gives us a clearer translation. He says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, your worries, your concerns, once and for all. So what I understand, I don't know what you understand about this, if you have to take that same concern you had about that person, that situation, that incident or whatever it is or whatever, if you had to pray to God again about that same thing, you haven't learned to cast your care upon God. If you have to ask God the same thing over and over, then you don't know what you're doing. So you have to be able to cast that one time on God. And if it comes back to you 20,000 times that day, you say, thank God I've cast that on you. And I want to thank you, you're taking care of it, and that the answer is coming. You're going to use other prayers, of course, the prayer of faith and so on. You're going to ask God to bring that to you. And so you would do that. You cast it one time. So if you have to come here and ask me to pray for you for what you ask God for in the morning, then you're not in faith. I don't take what I pray about in my prayer time and bring it to somebody else. Because there's some things I have to take care of myself in my own, for my own life. And God wants you to go to your prayer closet. Jesus said, when you go to your prayer closet, you tell God what you want. You ask him. Although God knows everything about you and he knows all about your problems, you still have to ask him. You still have to bring it to God. So if you're worried about something right now, you're stressed out about it, that's why he's Jehovah Shalom. You don't want to get old that fast. You don't want to get gray hairs. See your head over there. That's what happened to him and you too. Though I just colored my hair. And in fact, this is not my real hair. At night I go. So the prayer of faith. Let's see here. So there's power in united prayer when you're praying with somebody, right? So you have to do all that with someone who knows how to pray. They take you through the phases and so on and so forth. And they carry you through the Thanksgiving. And sometimes, you know, you can declare, make fake declarations before while you're praising. And you say, man, this is going to be an awesome day, man. I'm looking forward to today. God's going to use me today. I'm looking forward to people I'm going to meet. And God will take you on adventures and show you things. Okay, I just give you one example that happened to me. And you had your own instance. I know you've had your own. So I went to the store today. I went to buy some meat. How many of you like meat? I love meat. And I love chicken too. But so I went in there and I bought some food and I bumped into somebody. I said, oh, how are you doing? We started talking a little bit and the person was, you exchanged pleasantries with someone. And I said, well, how's your mom? Well, good and so on. And they said, well, how's so-and-so? How's your daughter? I said, oh, yeah, everybody's good, you know. So, and I went on. I said, yeah, say hi to your mom. And so I went and paid for my stuff. Later, got my my meat and went home. And I was driving. I left the store and I was driving over down to the stop sign. The Lord said to me, "You need to go back there and tell that person how much you appreciate them." Well, I don't want to go. I got no time. You know, God will take you. He'll stop you and make you go. So I had to go all the way back. I stopped. I said, "Babe, you're probably not going to be there anyway." So I went around. Went back to the store, and all that, she was just going to go in there and put in her last few items on that, what do you call that, conveyor belt? What is it called? Anyway, they're going to pay for that, okay? And the Lord says, pay for that food too, you know? Well, I was going to use my own money. I had the church card with me. So I was going to do that because it's part of my work, too. If I paid everybody, I'd have no money left, right? That happens to me quite a bit because Pastor Ken pays mine, and I pay everybody else. But anyways, and I said, I just want to tell you, I was fumbling with my word. I didn't know what to say. I was a little embarrassed, you know? I want to tell you, I got shy. You ever get shy? You don't know how to say it, right? Who is this man coming back? You left the store. You don't know what people are thinking, right? This beautiful woman. Honey? So I said, I want to let you know, I appreciate you, and you encourage me. You really encourage me, and I don't know if you knew this. I said, I used to see you on the street all the time here, over on Arthur Street and all these streets for years and years when I was at the other church, when we lived at the other church when we were going there. I said, I see you all the time walking. I see you going for your drugs, going into the drug houses. And I said, you know what? I prayed for you all those years. And you just finished telling me you have a 7-year-old daughter, you got a 3-year-old daughter, and you're expecting another one. And yet you got a job. In my mind, I thought you'd never ever get off the street and have a good life. I seen how you were. And I saw that, and I said, you minister to me, and it gives me hope to see other people. The same with this your daughter-in-law over here. You know, how much God changed her. I mean, one day she's on the news. Next day she's in Thunder Bay telling her story about, what God's done for her. That's encouraging. And I always felt so good because I've been praying. And I've been praying, and I was telling my wife how encouraged I am. When I go to prayer, I talk to God about world situations, economy, world powers, things that's going on. And I listen and I say, hey, that's what I've been praying about. You know? And I thank God that he's leading me. And very seldom do I just pray for, you know, just things, little things, you know. The Lord said to me, you know what? When you do that, whatever you do for me, someone else is going to do for you. And so, you know, when you pray like this, there's such a sincerity, there's such a security that you have with God that he'll never let you down. And I learned to pray for other people, to pray for the government, no matter how much they're being criticized, or our prime minister. I love our prime minister. I mean, you know, I don't, you know, people say all kinds of stuff about them or any one of them guys. I don't care who it is, they'll always have people saying bad things. I'll never say anything bad about my prime minister, publicly at least. I might say something, of course, you know, like I do about you and you about me. But never, never about publicly criticize someone like that. But God is good. And let me just give you, write this down, and then we'll shut her down for tonight. You see, John Wesley said, it seems that God cannot do anything for humanity unless someone prays. You are the key for allowing God to move on in this world. He needs vessels. God cannot just come in and do whatever he wants in this world. He needs you to stand on this world and say, God, I want you to use me as a vessel to pray for this situation right here at hand. Otherwise, he could just do whatever he wants. He didn't need you to pray. He needs you to pray. So, when you go to pray, when you pray with someone, you must have the same vision about that prayer time. You have to have that same goal. What are we praying about? Leader, what are we praying about tonight? And so when you come to that prayer group, you got to pray for that thing. Now, the leader always doesn't have to pray all the time. He could assign somebody else. You lead it this time. I've done it. Secondly, you have to have the same mindset, the same attitude, the same mental focus on whatever you're praying about. You're gonna load yourself with whatever you're praying. You're going to think about what they're praying about and focus on that instead of thinking about your grocery list or something else like that. You're going to be praying about that thing just for that short time. Right? And number three, be in complete agreement. So after you come in, after you come to that prayer group, after you come out of the prayer time, you say, well, I don't believe that's going to happen anyway. You know, I don't know if God can work in that situation. No, don't even say that. Be in agreement, because you're not agreeing because you feel something. You're agreeing because the Word of God says it. Yeah, right? You're saying, okay, I don't care how I feel. I don't care what I saw or what the news is saying or what the doctor said. I'm believing what the Word of God says. We're agreeing on the Word. We're standing on the Word. That's number three. And number four is come back next time. And we'll talk about it some more. Let's go ahead and stand up and pray. If you think about anything right now about what God's done for you, just think about it for a second. Say, Lord, I want to thank you. Close your eyes for a second. Close your eyes. If you would please lift your hands in one accord. Father, you said as we lift holy hands, you said you would have every man, every woman, every child open their heart, lift holy hands without wrath, without doubting. You said lifting up the hands is like the evening sacrifice. And it comes to you like incense. And so we worship you in agreement today. We're standing for our loved ones who are out there that still haven't made the commitment total commitment to follow you. We're standing, Father God, for family members maybe who are sick. We're praying that your will and your plan and purposes, not only for those individuals, but for this church, that these people will get closer to you as Jesus, his appearing is coming, is imminent. He's coming soon, you said. So we're preparing our hearts. We want to say how much we appreciate you, Lord. And so we give you our lives again. We submit to you. We say, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. Where you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to stay, I'll stay. And so, Father, you see all our hearts, all our needs. And so we just continually say, Lord, we've cast all those cares on you. Every worry, every desire that we have, every concern. And we say, Father, you have it. I don't have it. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. And every time I think about it, I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to say, God, thank you. You're faithful. And I'm going to be patient. And I'm going to be courageous because you answer every prayer. You answer according to your will and your word. And I have your will. I have your word. You said this and that. And I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. And thank you that I'm healed today. And thank you I'm covered with the blood and the enemy cannot get to me. I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. Your angels are around me. Your angels are with me, opening doors for me. You said this morning that you're going to open doors for people that no one could open them except you. And you're going to close doors that need to be closed. You said to us as sheep, you lead us in and you lead us out. You're leading us out of those situations and bringing us into newer and better situations. We give you praise for it right now, Lord God. And we thank you. We command our body to be healed according to the word of God, that body, you are healed. In the name of Jesus, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, we command every joint to be healed, back to be straight, our lungs full of air, and our blood is moving quickly all through our entire body, bringing health and healing all through our entire being. And we say our mind is clear, and we have control over the way we think and the way we feel about life. This is going to be an awesome fall